ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीशुक उवाच इति आनं यथं अमृत्या विदुरो गजस्साभयं स्वानां दिक्षु प्रययो ज्ञातीनां निर्वृथाशया। Shukadev Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya, and taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When a saintly person wants to see his kinsmen, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so that they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to see if he could deliver him from the clutches of Maya. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master and departed for the city of Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Kauravas. Etadya sunyad rajan ragyam Haryar pitat manam ayur dhanam yatha svasti gatim aishwaryam apnuyat. O King, those who hear these topics about kings who are completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead obtain without difficulty a long life, wealth, good reputation, good fortune, and ultimately the opportunity to return home back to Godhead. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas. End of the fourth canto. Today we are reading from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 31, entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas, Text 30 and 31. On the bank of the Ganga, near the holy place of Haridwar, Vidura was sent by Krishna's most dear friend Uddhava to hear the glories of the Lord from Maitreya Rishi, a great senior Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that Uddhava was so perfectly highly qualified to speak. But a Vaishnav is always humble and respectful and acts appropriately. Who could have been more qualified to speak than Uddhava? He had already heard Uddhava Gita, a major part of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was Krishna very directly speaking to Uddhava at very great length on very deep, high subject matters. So yes, Uddhava was supremely connected in parampara directly from Krishna. And of all the Yadus, Uddhava was his dearest friend. Haridas Bharya, most dear associate and servant of Krishna. Krishna would embrace him, lay down with him, sit with him, eat with him, joke with him. But on the occasion when Uddhava had serious questions, Krishna instructed him as his disciple. Uddhava had such a wonderful relation with Krishna that on many occasions Krishna would ask his advice. What to do with this Jarasandha? He's causing so much disturbance. How to deal with him? Yes, Krishna appeared to be seeking guidance, direction from Uddhava. This is the relationship. But yet a devotee never becomes proud. It is this quality that makes a devotee so dear to Krishna. If Krishna gives his very intimate company to his devotee, and that makes the devotee proud, then Krishna will not give. Krishna wanted to teach the world a lesson through the gopis of Braj. And on the day of, or on the night of Sarat Purnima, although they were completely free from pride, still Krishna wanted to teach the world a good lesson. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shamsundar, met with gopis under Bamsivat, first he presented so many arguments why they should go home. Oh, you have come. This is very nice. You have come to see the full moon and the beautiful forests of Vrindavan and how the jasmine and the malika flowers are blooming so nicely. And out of your great love and devotion, you have come to see me. So you have fulfilled all your desires. You have seen me. You have seen it all. Now you must go home. After all, it is the most sacred duty of all ladies to faithfully serve their husband and parents. It is the principle of Dharma that you must follow. So now, go home. Gopis were crying, torrents of tears from their eyes, drawing curved lines with their toes in the dust of Vrindavan. And they presented such beautiful arguments to Krishna that we have renounced everything for you. We have left our families, our protection, our social status, everything. You have called us with your flute. It is explained when Krishna played the song of his flute under Bamsivat tree, then that song, it was like a thief that entered into the ears of gopis, went into their hearts, and stole away all of their qualities, stole everything from them, and immediately delivered it all to Krishna. Krishna stole their hearts. And besides that, you are the super soul in everyone's heart. You are the, without your presence, all a person could be is a dead corpse. So by loving you, by serving you, by worshiping you, we are fulfilling our duties to everyone. Ultimately, Krishna's heart was melted by their surrender. And he performed wonderful pastimes with them, and each gopi was thinking, I am with Krishna alone. This is Krishna's power. He can fulfill his devotees' desires, and he can fulfill his own desires by his inconceivable transcendental powers of yoga maya. So each gopi thinking, I am the most fortunate woman in all the creation because Krishna is only with me. So Krishna wanted to increase the love of gopis, and at the same time, Krishna wanted to give a very strong message that he would not tolerate false pride, whoever a person is. All at once he disappeared, and they were immersed in the ocean of separation, searching for Krishna everywhere. So in this case, we should know that Krishna put the Braj Gopis in this condition of separation actually to increase the sweetness of their pastimes, to increase the intensity and the purity of their love. And as the devotee's love is increased, it gives more and more happiness to Krishna. And Krishna's happiness only increases the feelings of the devotee's joy. But also, Krishna sending a very, very clear message that even if we get the mercy of the Lord, if we become proud, the Lord is not favorable. And similarly, whenever the Lord blesses us in special ways, if we become proud, spoil everything. In Kuramakshetra, Vasudev, he revealed his heart as a pure devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the house of the Kurma Brahman to carry on with his travels to South India, heading in the southern direction. And Vasudev, who was an outcast, he was plagued with leprosy, such an advanced degree that his entire body was being eaten away by living worms, and the pus and the blood and the smell, all infectious. He was banished. A person with such a, in those days, incurable disease, banished for life. He was living alone. He had no association. There was no one who wanted to even be near him. So what a lonely and insignificant position he was in. But he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. That was his only desire in life. And he came, and when he heard that Lord Chaitanya had left, he fell unconscious in separation. Why Krishna does this to his devotees? The Lord knows everything. He knew Vasudev was coming. He's in Vasudev's heart. Why did he leave? Because for a devotee who is not completely pure, the feelings of separation act like a fire to burn to ashes whatever little contamination may remain in the heart. And for those who are completely pure, the experience of separation increases the nature of that devotee's love. Sarat Purnima, some gopis were not allowed to leave their house. These were the Munichari gopis, the sages of Dandakaranya who were devotees of Gopal. They worshipped and loved Gopal. And when Sri Ramchandra came to Dandakaranya, they had feelings of very, very deep affection. They wanted to enjoy, or they wanted to be enjoyed by the Lord in feelings of madhurya, ras. But they didn't say a word. Sri Ramchandra could read their hearts. And he told them, in my next incarnation, I will be Krishna, and you will be born in family of gopis, and there I will fulfill all of your desires. So those who associated with the Nitya Siddha gopis, they became completely purified by that association. But those who had not yet attained that association in such a wonderful way, some of them had some little specks, just little specks of material contamination in their hearts. So when Krishna played his flute, they became maddened to see him. But their husbands, with sticks, forced them to stay home. And some of them, in that situation, they actually became completely purified, just closing their eyes, meditating and praying to Krishna. And they ran behind the other gopis to follow. But others, they still had some traces of desire. So they had to stay home. So they closed their eyes and they wept and cried and meditated on Krishna. Complete meditation. Samadhi. Perfection of samadhi. Samadhi sudhir Ishvara Pranidhanat. Patanjali Yogi, he teaches that the perfection of samadhi is to be completely immersed in meditation on the Supreme Lord. So in that state, they became completely purified. And the next time Krishna called, they were allowed to come. So yes, these feelings of separation are the Lord's love and mercy to his devotees. So yes, Krishna knew Vasudev. So much trouble. In his diseased condition, it wasn't easy for him to walk this long distance. As far as we can understand, he probably walked for days just to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya left. And when he arrived there, he had just missed him. It was such a blow to his heart, it was intolerable. Yes, the Lord loves to test his devotees. And when ultimately he was just beside himself in the grief of separation, the feelings of his love, like a volcanic eruption, were just completely overwhelming him, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show how he loves his devotee. Please understand, when he was going along the roads singing Krishna's name, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of every type of people, many very qualified people, who were coming right in his pathway. And just seeing him dancing and seeing his love and hearing his chanting, they would become transformed and they would chant with him. He would embrace them and they would become filled with love of God. He was spreading love of God like he had never done before. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, even in Navadweep, he did not bestow such complete causeless mercy upon everybody and anybody as he did when he was traveling through South India. Wherever he went, crowds of people were coming. Why? Why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's moving forward to preach to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, he returned back to where he already came and made priority over the masses one insignificant outcast who was suffering leprosy. He walked back hours and hours and hours and hours just for this one insignificant devotee. And when Vasudev saw him, he was overwhelmed with joy. How could this be? The Lord has come back to deliver me. And when Lord Chaitanya came to embrace him, he wanted to run away. But when the Lord wants to catch you, you cannot escape. So he embraced Vasudeva. Vasudeva offered a beautiful prayer. He quoted Sudama Vipra. I am the most insignificant fallen Brahman, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Why would you embrace me? That is your causeless, infinite mercy. Vasudev said, nobody wants to even look at me. The smell of my body and the infectious disease that is emitting from it is so horrible that no one will come close to me. But you have embraced me. Therefore, I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Krishna. Who else can be so merciful? But when Lord Chaitanya embraced Vasudev, his body was healed. It became beautiful, youthful, with a golden luster. Such mercy. And Vasudev in his heart became very worried. Now you have come just to see me. You have embraced me and you've performed this miracle to deliver me physically, emotionally, spiritually. Now I may become proud. People will know that I am an object of great mercy. If I become proud, everything is lost. What Vasudeva is teaching here is very important. Samsadhir Haritoshana. A devotee's only concern is pleasing Krishna. Na danam na janam na sundarim kabitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktirohaitakitvai. We recite this sloka every morning. The Shikshastakam of Mahaprabhu, every morning we recite it. Because it has such deep relevance to our spiritual progress. What is a devotee's motive? Yani sa sarvabhutanam. Krishna tells in Gita that it is just the opposite of a materialistic person. What is night for a materialist is the time of awakening for a devotee. And the time of awakening for an ordinary being is night, sleeping time for a devotee. Very opposite values. This is one way we understand that we're making progress and we're getting some blessing, is our values change. Lord Chaitanya is praying, I do not want money. How many of you can honestly say that? Raise your hands. I do not want money. I do not want association with the beauty of the opposite sex. I do not want to be kavitam, a learned scholar, poet. I do not want a reputation. I don't want fame or position that gives me influence, control, and respect from others. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you. I only want to please you. Birth after birth after birth. What pleases Krishna? What pleases Krishna is a clean heart. Just a few days ago, one of the brahmacharis giving class was, I believe it was Kaustubha Prabhu. Not brahmachari. Better than brahmachari. Kaustubha Prabhu was quoting from Lord Chaitanya's talk to Amogha. Amogha is the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But he was envious. He saw how his own father-in-law was worshiping Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mother-in-law was doing the same. And there was Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai and all these devotees, Govinda and Kashishwar Pandit. They were just doing such nice seva to the Lord. So a devotee is pleased when they see the Lord being worshipped with love and devotion. But ordinary people become envious. He was envious. He wanted to defame the Lord. He wanted to blaspheme him. You see, if your mind is contaminated, the mind is a mirror. You see the world according to your own consciousness. You can see faults in Krishna, if that is your wish. Although Krishna is pavitra, completely pure. What to speak of finding faults with the insignificant parts and parcels? This is the power of the false ego. It will imagine even faults in God. Therefore, to find faults in other people is not a great thing. Rupa Goswami explains, to be devoid of the propensity to find fault in anyone, that is a great thing. So Amogha blasphemed Lord Chaitanya and really, really upset his father-in-law and his mother-in-law. They were so merciful. Now, it's hard to always understand the mercy of Vaishnavas. They were so merciful that they were praying he would die. Now, you may think that's cruel, but no, that was just the nature of their love. Don't try to understand it with material intelligence. We must understand by the qualities that they exhibit. A devotee is everyone's well-wisher. So he got cholera, which is another horrible disease. Something like typhoid fever. It's contracted in a similar way, which we're not going to get into details here. But he got cholera, he was dying, he was moments away from death. And Lord Chaitanya comes right to his room. Why? The man blasphemed him. The man's heart was fixed on intentionally ruining Lord Chaitanya's name and fame. And he got the reaction. The Lord came and said that the heart of a Brahmin is supposed to be a pure place for Krishna to reside. How have you allowed this envy to enter your heart? take the name of Krishna and rise. And Amoga took the name of Krishna, was cured of his cholera, and he became a great devotee. So yes, we see the world according to our own consciousness. The world is like the mind is like a mirror. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering this prayer, that we should simply want to please the Lord. And Vasudev knew if there's even a speck of false pride in the heart, then everything's ruined. That was the standard of his devotional service. When things are really clean, one speck really stands out. Yes? But when things are a mess, then you hardly even notice a speck. There's just too many specks. So as we become more purified, any little contamination in our heart becomes such an obvious, flagrant anartha, or unwanted thing. The consciousness becomes so subtle and so perceptive. That is why we find great souls, they like to find faults with themselves. Read the songs of Narottam and Bhaktivinoda and Lochan Das and Srila Prabhupada and all the other great acharyas. They don't even have faults. They just see something that may indicate, and they just condemn that. Yes? And that's actually part of how we can understand we're making spiritual progress. When we have this oceanic accumulation of anarthas or faults in our heart, of lust and anger and pride and greed and illusion and lust, when we have these things so much in our heart, we can hardly see them. As they say, it's hard to tell the forest from the trees. And somehow or other we get this false sense of aggrandizement that I'm something great. But actually, what we're thinking we're great for is our anarthas. We're mistaking the weed for the bhakti lata bij. We're proud of our weeds. You can't be proud of your bhakti lata bij. All you could do is be grateful and humbled by it growing. But when we think the weed is something very special and something very great and something divine, then we become proud. It's the weed itself that's making us proud. But as we become purified and the anarthas are going away and going away and going away, any little speck, we magnify it ourselves. How horrible. One little speck of desire, oh, I'm full of lust. One little speck, I'm so proud, I'm so arrogant. But when you have a lot of it, it's hard to even notice. It's just too much. We're not sensitive. We have to be taught about how many contaminations we have in our heart. We have to hear about it in Bhagavatam class. Otherwise we forget that they're there. And we become proud and we think we're great. Great preachers, great welfare workers. Somehow or other, the mind will always think of something we're great. So yes, Vasudev, if there's a speck of false pride in my heart, it will ruin my devotional service. Please protect me. Mahaprabhu said, always show compassion to others as their servant by teaching them Krishna consciousness, and always chant the name of the Lord. In this way, because you're fully engaged, you will be transcendental to false ego. So Uddhava, such a great devotee, but this is why he was so great. so supremely blessed by Krishna. But yet he's always thinking of how others are greater. And he's finding the greatest happiness in taking a subordinate position. Yes, in Dwarka, even Ugrasena and the queens are praising Uddhava. No one got his association so much. Krishna's association. But yet Uddhava doesn't think that of all the devotees in Dwarka, I am Krishna's most favorite. Everybody else knew that. Everybody else glorified him for that. But Uddhava was thinking that the gopis, they love Krishna. In comparison to their love, mine is non-existent. It's utterly insignificant. What is the use of my being the best friend of Krishna in Dwarka? I'd rather be a small creeper growing out of the ground of Braj Bhumi so that the maid servants of gopis may step on my head with their lotus feet. Then I will be really blessed. This is a great soul. And that is why he is most dear to Krishna. That is why he is the favorite. So Uddhava was speaking to Vidura, but he understood that a senior Vaishnava, Maitreya Muni, was nearby. It's not simply that Maitreya Muni could give a better class than Uddhava. It wasn't like that. It was a matter of the heart, that he's senior to me, therefore he should speak. So on Uddhava's direction, Vidura went to Maitreya Muni. And a vast sector of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Maitreya Rishi's instructions to Vidura. A large part of the fourth canto is this wonderful dialogue. And after this last narration of Narada Muni's instructions of the Prajaitis, which reveals the glories of pure devotional service and the qualities of a pure devotee, Maitreya Rishi ended. And Vidura, who is also a best friend of Krishna, he falls in prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Maitreya, thanks him again and again and again, that these narrations that you have given me have taken me out of the darkness of materialistic life and brought me into the light of spiritual understanding. You're so grateful. This also shows how great souls are so eager to hear from others. And then Vidura asked permission to leave. And we come to today's verse. He's returning to Hastinapur. Maitreya Rishi just explained the qualities of a great soul to Vidura. And here we find how Vidura is so perfectly personifying those teachings. Maitreya Rishi described what pleases the Lord most is when a devotee is compassionate to other living beings and is always immersed in remembering Krishna. And what is the greatest compassion? To elevate the soul by bringing it closer to Krishna. Now, what business does Vidura have to go to Hastinapur? Shukadev Goswami, he has very sublime realizations in this subject. He says he returned to his home to visit his relatives, although he had no material desires. Now, coming from Sukadeva Goswami, this is quite profound. He has realization. You know, when he was only 12 years old, he was born. He was born at 12 years old. He had no inclination to get involved in this material world. He was content to remain in the womb of his mother until he died of old age. Yes? But by Vyasadeva and Krishna's arrangement, they somehow convinced him to come out, and he just left. He had no affinity for his father is Vyasadeva, his mother, they loved him dearly. He just left them. He didn't even look at them in that direction. He just walked out. Now, mothers, what would you do if your child just walked away and didn't even look at you immediately after birth? Would your heart be broken? Probably be so amazed that you would faint. So he just left. And his father's chasing after him, his mother, come back, come back. He didn't even hear them, he just walked out. He was Atmarama. He had no sentiments for materialistic affection. He was completely on the transcendental platform. But he came back to his father to learn Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, as such a merciful, compassionate devotee who's only living for the welfare of others, but he's only living for their spiritual welfare, he's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, according to his platform of realization, that Vidura went back to see his relatives in Hastinapur, although he had no material desires. He wasn't infected or affected by the skin disease. He was relating himself as the eternal spirit soul. He could see every living being as part and parcel of Krishna. The temporary material body was of little relevance to him. He went back to Hastinapur because his heart was overflowing with compassion. Compassion to who? Compassion to his own brother, who performed such heinous injustices to Vidura. Vidura was his well-wisher always. Vidura loved his brother. And the nature of Vidura's love was he was concerned with the spiritual welfare of his brother. It wasn't the sentimental love of, you're okay, I'm okay, everything's all right. He understood that his relationship with Duryodhana was destroying all of his good qualities. What you associate with, you become contaminated by that. Actually, Dhritarashtra was a nice person, but association can spoil one. And Dhritarashtra's family attachment was on the bodily concept, completely different than Vidura's. Dhritarashtra had a sentimental bodily love, so-called, for his son, Duryodhana. And in the way Maya traps us is through these affections, she drags us away from Krishna. The whole purpose of understanding Krishna is to awaken divine love. So Maya, in order to distract our attention away from Krishna, she redirects that propensity to love. And just as a devotee, as our love for Krishna awakens, we become more and more and more attached to Krishna. We can't live without Krishna. We can't stop thinking of Krishna. We can't stop speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada said, a pure devotee is one who is addicted to Krishna. Arivo. As affection grows, attachment grows. But just like gold and iron, when that same affection, which is meant for Krishna, is directed toward materialistic objects, then we develop attachment for that. So yes, Dhritarashtra, he was very much concerned with his relatives, but he had so many material desires. Therefore, it was downfall. Therefore, it is explained so many times in the scriptures how attachment to family life is such a powerful obstacle to the path of pure devotional service. Because when we have this attachment to family life on this bodily concept, what happens? We become so much affected by that. More than anything else, that can drag us away from Krishna. So here is Vidura. In such a state of compassion and forgiveness, due to Dhritarashtra's attachment to Duryodhana, he turned against, blasphemed his best well-wishing brother. His only brother. Pandu had died. Vidura was the only other member of that generation of the family. But Vidura had love. Therefore, he told Dhritarashtra the truth. That you are destroying your own life. Your son, Duryodhana, is offense personified. He's blasphemous to Krishna. He's blasphemous to Krishna's greatest, most beloved devotees. He's an envious rascal. Why are you so attached to him? Give it up. And he said this right in front of Duryodhana. Dhritarashtra had to make a serious choice. On one hand, Vidura is saying, give up your attachment to your son who is envy personified. And on the other hand, Duryodhana is screaming at Vidura, threatening his life and telling him to leave Hastinapur, which is his own home. If you don't leave right now, you will not even have your breath to go with. Hare Krishna. And Dhritarashtra is the king. He could have told Duryodhana, keep your mouth shut. This is my brother. Don't you interfere with our discussion. Yes, he could have said that. And that would have been the authority. But he remained silent. He didn't have the heart to go against his son. This is material sentiment. This is bodily attachment. And how it can drag us down. So-called family affection based on ignorance is a great, great stumbling block on the path of devotion. So yes, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra kicked Vidura out of his own home, away from his own family, to live as a beggar in the forest. Of course, we know Kurukshetra battle. Duryodhana received the reactions of his offenses. And Vidura, who was unjustly persecuted, blasphemed, life threatened, and lost everything. He's thinking how to deliver Dhritarashtra. That is love. That is brotherly love. Because there's a natural affinity for family members. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj could have just gone to the forest. He was fearless. At 5 years old, it's not that he had to stay home and go to the Gurukul of Sanda and Amarka. He was fearless, and he was thrown in pits of snakes. He was thrown in blazing fire. He was thrown off mountains. He was thrown in oceans. He was stabbed and beaten with spears. He was fearless. Why didn't he leave home? How many of you would have stayed in a home like that, where your father is just most powerful, Hiranyakashipu is just, his whole life is committed to killing you? Yes, his family attachment. Because attachment and aversion are two different sides of the same coin. Hiranyakashipu had so much affection for Prahlad that when he put Prahlad on his lap, tears would pour from his eyes. Yes, can you imagine? Do you think of Hiranyakashipu like that, just embracing his little 5-year-old son and tears pouring from his eyes as he's smelling his son's head in affection? There was real affection there. But his son loved his father. The son actually loved Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, he wouldn't leave. He kept coming back and preaching to him. Just like Vidura to Dhritarashtra, he just kept coming back. We saw in that nice drama last night that very nice little boy represented Prahlad so well by Radhe Shyam Prabhu's blessings. Little Prahlad wouldn't give up hope for his father. Hope against hope. He was telling him the truth. He wouldn't give up telling him the truth. That is love. And his father wouldn't listen to him. Just like Vidura. He was telling Dhritarashtra the truth again and again and again. But because Vidura's attachment to a demon, he couldn't hear. He turned against his brother. Hiranyakashipu turned against Prahlad. And eventually, when Hiranyakashipu was finally killed, Prahlad Maharaj's only prayer to Nrsingadev is, "Give my father liberation." That is love. Concern for the eternal soul. Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit. What makes a cuckoo bird beautiful is the sweetness of his song. And what makes the woman beautiful? Not her physical features, but her chastity. What makes an ugly man beautiful? If he becomes a learned scholar. And what is the beauty of a saintly person? Their forgiveness. They're willing to forgive. If people don't treat you wrong, you have nothing to forgive for. So therefore, devotees, they take it as Krishna's mercy when they're misused and abused, because they have an opportunity to be beautiful for Krishna by giving forgiveness. So that is Vidura. Not only did he forgive his brother, but he went home exclusively for the purpose of giving his brother liberation. the very man who abused him was the object of his real love. This is love. This is true family life, to give Krishna. Prabhupada explains herein Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew all the family members were destroyed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother Dhritarashtra, to see if he could deliver him from the clutches of Maya. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master and departed for the city of Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Kauravas. Is there any questions? Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Maharaj, you explained so nicely about how, in spite of Vidura being treated so badly by Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, Vidura came back to tell Dhritarashtra what he should do finally with his life. So that was the compassion of Vidura. But sometimes we see, Maharaj, we have, although we see so many faults in ourselves, but there are situations where some devotees are not behaving properly, but yet you feel that you should not be telling them because they will not be able to understand and your relationship with them will get spoiled. So now, although Vidura was in such a situation, still he went out of his way to advise Dhritarashtra. So in such situation, Maharaj, what should we do?
Prabhupada told that we should do the needful. We should be intelligent and do what works. Being a fundamentalist fanatic, you may speak the truth, but you also turn people away from God and the path of Dharma. So we should use our intelligence to do what works. If we see in Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada spoke the uncompromised truth in his classes and very much in his personal instructions to the devotees. But he would do whatever brought that person closer to Krishna, whatever worked. Sometimes he was just kind, but it was with this aim of compassion, of bringing a person closer to Krishna. Now, a devotee is intelligent. Prahlad understood that his father, there was no other way except to just tell him the truth as it is. If he was just nice to his father and kind to his father, it's not that gradually his father would become favorable to Krishna. Sometimes we do that. We don't necessarily preach. We're just nice and we're kind, and then that person becomes favorable, then that person develops trust in us, and then gradually their hearts change. Yes, that's expert preaching, according to time, place, and circumstance. But Hiranyakashipu, he would never change. He was the arch enemy of Vishnu. He didn't understand subtle preaching tactics. Prahlad just told him as it is, right from the onset. And he knew he would shake his father up. And ultimately, he knew his father would hate him, and he knew his father would try to kill him. Even when his father was trying to kill him, he still Even after all those assassination methods, he still spoke the truth right out to his father. Yes? Because ultimately, you know, Prahlad understood that, you know, the more my father does this, you know, Krishna's going to deliver him. So that was his mercy. And Vidura was a very kind, loving, affectionate brother to Dhritarashtra. But when he saw that his brother was just going so far off because of his attachment to Duryodhana, you know, he was preaching in subtle ways previously, but it was becoming so outrageous, he saw that nothing else was working. He just has to tell it as it is, straight out. And that he did, out of his love. So he understood, even if it means my life, I have to try to save him. Even if it means losing everything, I have to try to help him. That was his selflessness. And Dhritarashtra, covered over by the influence of his brother, could not recognize the genuine, pure love that Vidura had for him. So we must follow in footsteps of such great souls. And when we see that someone is not right, we have to try to help that person in the best possible way that actually helps that person, that works. Prabhupada said, an expert preacher is one who understands how to present the truth according to Kala, Desha, and Patra, time, place, and the particular personality we're speaking to. If speaking the truth and becoming the enemy of the person, risking that, is the best way we could help them, we should be willing to do it. But if there's a better way of trying to deliver that person, we should do that. That takes maturity. That takes compassion. And we should also take guidance from senior devotees who have more compassion and spiritual maturity than ourselves. That is very important. Otherwise, our good intention can create havoc in the entire society of Vaishnavas. Could be in turmoil because of your good intentions. Yes? So we should have good intelligence and take proper guidance. Very well. Just like if our doctors, if someone comes to them, they may really feel for the patient, but if they understand that they don't really know enough to help with this chronic type of disease or this emergency situation, they bring him to a higher doctor. Yes? Dwarkadish Prabhu, Giriraj Prabhu. So many times, devotees come to them and they bring him to a higher doctor because they understand that they're just not mature enough in their understanding of this to deal with it themselves. If they don't really know how to deal with the disease, they can cause a bigger problem. Yes? So that is important. Yes? This is the last question. Govinda Prabhu always has the last word.
And as you are mentioning about how Vasudev was so simple and he remained humble. But we see that as a practicing...
Who? Oh, leper Vasudev.
Yeah. We see that as a practicing devotees, even though we hear these stories, even we speak these kind of stories, but when we are actually faced with such situation, either we become proud if we are successful, or if we are unsuccessful, we become envy. So what we are supposed to do beyond simply hearing and talking about these things when we are faced with such situations?
We should continue hearing, and we should continue talking, and we should be really striving through our prayer, through our chanting of the holy names, to clean ourselves of these anarthas so that we can actually follow in the footsteps of these personalities. And according to our capacity, we should try to act that way. We should try to follow in their footsteps. We learn how to pray from the great souls, and we should pray. And that is our prayer that should be our prayer as we're chanting the holy names and hearing the Bhagavatam. Everything is useless unless we follow in the footsteps of these great souls. So carry on hearing and carrying on chanting in a prayerful mood. If this is our goal, to have these internal qualities awaken within our heart, then Krishna will make all things possible. Prabhupada had total faith that if devotees simply understand these principles from his books, serve in this spirit and chant the holy names, then by the mercy of Krishna, just because we're sincere, he will give us these highest realizations. But be sincere. That is all important. Yesterday's drama that you performed was most wonderful. This King Mayurdhvaj, he also showed real love for his family members. He understood what is the best thing for my family members. His son defeated Arjuna, and he was disturbed that you have offended a Vaishnav. What is the use of your victory and your eternal fame? You get it? You're going to be eternally famous if you defeat Arjuna, aren't you? And for Kshatriyas, this fame is a very important aspect of life. He didn't care, as Prabhupada said, he didn't care a fig for all this eternal international fame. You defeated Arjuna? This is horrible. This is terrible. You offended a Vaishnav. Yes? And then when you appeared on the scene as Krishna in the guise of Brahman, unshaved Brahman, does it say that Krishna didn't shave? Krishna doesn't need to shave. Huh? Priyavrat Prabhu, okay. Anyways, it looked quite authentic. So the father, love for his child, as he chastised his child when his child did the wrong thing. He offended a Vaishnav. And then, because he understood that offending a great soul is so contrary to the principles of true bhakti, he forced his child to perform the deed of cutting him in half. Yes? That was his love, not only for Krishna, but for his son. That you have to do what pleases Krishna. This is what pleases Krishna. This is what I have to do, and this is what you have to do. Yes? That is love. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.